and it's our right to split it up.
That's right. We've been now talking about this, it feels like, for about 4 years, almost as long as the Bush administration has been planning it. And essentially, it's, you know, when you look at a war being waged for oil and you ask, well, if you fight a war for oil, how do you then get the oil?
This is the Quality News Network. Protesting genocide in Darfur, President Bush this morning announced new economic sanctions against the Sudanese government. He also ordered the State Department to propose additional UN action. 200,000 Sudanese have been killed. 2.5 million have been forced to flee their homes. In Darfur, nearly 80% of humanitarian aid workers are afraid to speak to the UN, human rights groups, or journalists about the violence they've seen. That's according to the latest Reuters poll. 158 aid workers have been killed or seriously injured there since 2003, more than in any other single place in aid history. In Baghdad this morning, a car bomb exploded downtown, killing 23 and wounding 55. Another car bomb in the western part of the city killed 15 and wounded 36. Also in Baghdad this morning, gunmen kidnapped 5 British civilians from their cars outside the finance ministry. One was an expert assisting the Iraqi government. The other 4 were his bodyguards. On Memorial Day, at least 8 U.S. soldiers were killed in Diyala province. 2 died when their helicopter was shot down. 110 U.S. forces have died so far in May. The EU's foreign policy chief announced he will meet this week with Iran's chief nuclear envoy to discuss Tehran's controversial uranium enrichment program. In Tehran, espionage charges were filed today against a prominent U.S. academic from the Woodrow Wilson Center for Scholars. Also charged were 2 Iranian-Americans, 1 a journalist, 1 a former World Bank employee. They've been imprisoned for weeks. In Madrid, a court has sentenced 3 Pakistani-born men of collaborating with the terrorist group. The court acquitted them and 8 others of more serious terrorism-related charges. In many major cities in Venezuela, protesters are demonstrating in the streets following President Hugo Chavez's takeover of the country's largest opposition television station. Chavez is threatening to shut down another local station and CNN for broadcasting video of the riots. Russia successfully test-launched a new intercontinental ballistic missile this morning. The missile can travel 3,400 miles, is designed to carry 10 warheads, and to evade missile defense systems.
Hi, I'm George Lopez. In comedy, there are some things you can count on to get a smile. In healthcare, Shriners Hospitals for Children have a proud tradition of bringing smiles to kids with orthopedic burn and spinal cord problems. The Shriners offer world-class medical care to children absolutely without charge. At all 22 Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized pediatric services for one purpose, to improve the lives of children. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Oxfam is demanding countries which produce the largest share of carbon gas emissions pick up the biggest share of funding to reduce them. In the case of the U.S., that would mean 44% of the annual $50 billion bill. The G8 nations meet later this month to discuss climate change. An Indian firm is being paid to incinerate Bhopal's toxic waste from the world's worst industrial disaster. In 1984, a leak at Union Carbide's pesticide plant killed 10,000 people and sickened 550,000 more. Worldwide environmentalists have filed objections to the burning plan. Seattle-based shipbuilder Kavijak, partnering with Marionette Marine, has won a $600 million multi-year contract to build vessels for the Coast Guard. The Federal Trade Commission is launching an antitrust investigation into Google's proposed acquisition of online ad management company DoubleClick. Google announced the $3.1 billion deal last month. The Financial Times says Trouble Ford Motors is considering selling its Volvo unit. German automaker BMW is reportedly interested in the deal. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.35 a barrel, silver at $13.04 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, it's time to get up in the morning. Oh, once again, it's a wake-up call with a Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio. How are you doing today?
How are you all doing today? I'm glad to be back, glad to be here, and I hope you all had a good Memorial Day holiday. How is everybody out there today? It's a beautiful day in Chicago, and I am just so glad to be back here on the radio doing what I do best, which is rambling on about nothing. Well, that's not entirely true. All right, wake the hell up, everybody. Come on, get up out of bed. Move it, move it. I see you. Do those calisthenics. I see you over there. Quit slacking off. We got jumping jacks to do. We got squat thrusts. That's the most disgusting name for an exercise ever created. Squat thrust.
Let's do the squat thrust again.
Sounds like anal sex. I need to get some water here. Hang on. So anyway, for those of you who weren't aware of it, and actually, I want to before I begin, I want to thank. First of all, I want to thank Bob Kincaid for sticking with me during my time of I don't want to say crisis, but being off the air time here. But I also want to thank all those people who wrote in from the reruns. Wrote in emails saying I'm listening, and of course I'm always asking that for people, and I'll ask again later on the show. But you know, one of the ways that we need to, that we have of getting funding is to show that we have people actually listening and in large numbers. So all I ask you to do for us to prove that we have this amount of people, all I ask you to do is write a little email to me saying I'm listening in the subject matter. You don't have to write anything to me, although I do get people who write some stuff, and it's very nice. But all you have to do is write in the subject, I'm listening, and I put it in my little list there, and I send it off to whoever I need to send it off to Bob, and then he sends it on to the people who make a difference as far as getting funding for the Head-On Network is concerned. Because, you know, we want to get to a point where we can at least be self-sufficient. And as much as I am the working man's thinking man, I would rather focus a little bit more on doing the show and not having to worry about jobs. But that's not a... Let's not get too much into that because I really don't want to do that. But I do want to thank Bob, and I want to thank everybody who wrote in with these emails while I was away. And for those of you who don't know what happened, let me explain it as briefly as I possibly can. What happened was that I mentioned it on the show that we had some crazy landladies, ladies who obviously had no idea of no concept of the term privacy. They would continually come into the house. They would continually harass us about, you know, picayune stuff. Stuff that they really had no right. There's lint underneath the lid of the washer. This oven hasn't been cleaned properly. Not to mention, you know, never mind the fact that it was like, you know, a 15, 20-year-old oven. And the stuff that had been caked on there for that long. I used it exactly once, as a matter of fact. But the big thing was just them coming over without any notice, without any warning, and just walking in. And when we weren't home, walking into our rooms and doing stuff. And that's against the law. And no matter how many times you tried to explain it, their attitude was always, well, after everything we've done for you, after everything we've done for you. This is how you treat us. That's not nice. So my roommate and I got the hell out of there, and actually we just moved right up the street. We're just up the block from where we were in this huge apartment. It's a very old, it's a traditional Chicago three flat. And we're on the second floor, and this is a huge apartment. It's technically three bedrooms, but there's two big bedrooms and one small room that we're basically going to use as a TV room, and they have the huge, this huge living room. We really even don't even have a clue what we're going to use it for. We're going to use that back room as the TV room because you can play a TV in there and not be heard in any of the other bedrooms, whereas if you use the living room or the dining room, which is fairly large too, you can hear it very clearly from the rooms. So, but anyway, we moved, and the thing about it is, the good thing about the lady's place was that it was furnished. So I didn't have the most, you know, technical setup there. I was basically using a dresser with a drawer stuck out and the keyboard stuck in it as my desk. But when we moved here, we had no furniture. So for the first 2 or 3 weeks or so, I was literally, well, I'm sleeping on an air mattress, which actually I'm finding to be very, very comfortable, and I'll talk about that in a bit. And I had the computer on the floor. And if any of you have tried to read a computer while lying down, because I couldn't sit down. First of all, I didn't have a chair. And second of all, there was no way to really sit anywhere on the floor. And I can't sit on the floor for too long anyway because it hurts my leg circulation. So I was stuck there with the computer on the floor and not doing anything. And you know, I could kind of sort of use the computer, but not really. And I was getting headaches trying to read it sideways. And I tried to tilt your head sideways and read the computer. It's very, very annoying. At any rate, I found this little tabletop while I was going to a drugstore one day. Not a drugstore to get drugs. You know what I'm talking about, like a CVS or a Walgreens or something. And I was walking in the aisle. I saw this great tabletop, and I said, "Hey, let me snag this. It's old, but hadn't been raining, so it was in good shape." And I was thinking, now what? I need something to put it on because it didn't have an base or anything. It was just a top. So I went out, and finally, I got so sick of it. The other day, I went out, and I went to Office Depot, and I splurged. I spent $15 to get some boxes, some just fold-up boxes, and I put them together, and I braced them as best as I could, and I put the tabletop on it, and they work fine. I mean, I know these boxes. They hold up pretty well. So I have a desk now, so I can actually sit down at the computer and type. But it's been a rough couple of weeks, and I want to thank everybody who wrote in. And again, I want to thank Bob and Agnes and all the guys over at the Head On for sticking with me while I was doing this. And I know I've wasted about 10 minutes talking about this, but you know, it was just important to let everybody know. But it's just really great knowing that there were a lot of people listening in. We have so many ways of people to listen in now, either on the iPods and the. John Fox also. I want to thank John Fox for filling in for me from time to time. But Bob Kincaid was telling me that they got some new setup. Bob, if you want to fill me in on that again, because I forgot. It was a new kind of like an iPods or something like that. Another way of listening for the show. So. I'm glad of that. Anyway, listen, let's take a little bit of an early break here. If you want to give me a call, and I really want to hear from you because I want to talk about, I got some things to talk about. I got Cindy Sheehan, some business going on with her. If you want to call in, the number is 1-304-658-5453. You can call the toll-free number 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast. It's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453, or the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. And I hope you're, again, you had a good time on your Memorial Day holiday. I was talking with a lady from Australia in a chat room, and she was like, "What's Memorial Day?" So, you know, we get so used to our own holidays that we forget that in other countries they don't exist. And Australia, I'm sure, has their own version of Memorial Day. Canada, I think, has their own, and I know they do. I forget what they call it. And I think I'm not entirely sure, but wasn't Memorial Day originally Armistice Day? Day at the ending of World War One. Doesn't matter. I'm not here to give a damn history lesson. Anyway, John Fox, our good friend who follows me on the radio. And by the way, Bob Kincaid told me it's Receiva.com that we're listening at, R-E-C-I-V-A.com, so you can listen there, and hope we're getting a lot of listeners to that. But anyway, my good friend John Fox had a post today, or yesterday, about Cindy Sheehan. And for those of you who remember, and I hope you do remember, because she was a big player in the news for a while, Cindy Sheehan was... you know, the mother of an American soldier killed in Iraq, who was just wanted to question, ask George Bush why her son died. And, of course, Mr. Bush ignored her. And as, unfortunately, what happens on the left sometimes, and I hate to say unfortunately because, you know, this is how we are sometimes. First of all, a lot of it turned into a sideshow, and I noticed that Cindy was getting a lot of hangers-on people who were just spouting their own little cause. And I remember, you know, she had written a diary on Daily Coast sometimes, talking about her her thing, and she used the term Trail of Tears. And instantly, which is the way it is on Daily Coast, which is why I never post there anymore, you know, instantly somebody was getting on her case for using the term Trail of Tears, because that's a term that used to be used, you know, for the that's a term that the Indians use for how we treat it. I mean, yeah, granted, it was bad, but, you know, you know, there was no reason to scream at Cindy about it, and they were very rude. And the rudest ones were the people on Democratic Underground, who have come to really seriously despise. And this is how we are on the left, and people get very, very cliquish. And our problem is that we tend to have a lot of different people with their own ideas about what's the most important thing. And they pick a particular issue, and if you're not 100% with them on that issue, and you don't think that it's the biggest, most important issue of the country or the world right now, then they don't want to have anything to do with you. And Cindy wrote a letter basically saying that she's fed up with it, and she's leaving. She writes, when I started to hold the Democratic Party to the same standards that I held the Republican Party, support for my cause started to erode, and the left started labeling me with the same slurs that the right used. Welcome to the left, Cindy Sheehan. Welcome to the left. Nobody, but nobody, eats their own better than the left wing. And if you wonder why we're failing, that's why we're failing. Because you come around and you say, I'm for, you gotta be for gay rights, because if you're not for gay rights, then, you know, whatever else you think, then you're wrong. And you're an idiot, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. But when you make a post on Daily Coast or Democratic Underground, and there's always, no matter what you post, there's always got to be somebody bitching about it. There's always got to be somebody having something to say about it. You didn't use your tags right. You didn't do this. You phrased this wrongly. And why didn't, you know, you get on there and you make a post and you don't hang around for 9 or 10 hours to debate with everybody about it. Why didn't you do that? So, well, because some of us have better things to do with our damn time. That's why. Christ almighty, people. You know, I get berated sometimes by my roommate and from other people for talking politics too much, and it's true, I'm a very political animal. But the fact of the matter is, while I spend a certain amount of time reading websites, I also do other things. I'm quite capable of doing other things. Why aren't you? And people get addicted to this website stuff. And they'll sit there and respond. And there were some people, I guess they're either living with their mommy and daddy, or they're not paying rent, or they've got a job where maybe they can work from home or something like that. And they have the time to spend 8 or 9 hours a day or more debating with people over, for the most part, useless nonsense. Although, you know, I'm not saying that Daily Coast or Democratic Underground doesn't have anything good to add. But they spend all of this time arguing about this crap. And God forbid somebody should come in who doesn't have that kind of time to deal with it. You know, very early on, I was dealing with computer arguing many, many years ago, long before the World Wide Web, when they had what they used to call BBSs. So those of you who are veterans know what I'm talking about. BBS means bulletin board service. And it was basically just a way for people to send texts back and forth. It was literally like a bulletin board. You posted a text and people responded to it. And I was getting into arguments mostly with right-wingers. And, I'd write and they'd respond, and then I'd respond to that, and they'd respond to that. And I was, after a while, I'd realize, you know, I'm spending 12 hours a day doing this crap. And it's like, I need to get out. And, of course, you do that, and the other people declare victory. I can hang around longer than you. I said, well, you know, I'm really happy for you. I'm really happy for you. But when Cindy came along, she was generating a lot of publicity, and there were a lot of people who wanted their cause to be attached to her. And, she, you know, she was gracious enough to allow them to, you know, be part of all that to a certain extent. And was it a case of her using them too? I don't really know about that so much, but they were certainly using her a lot. And, of course, as soon as she had any kind of criticism of the Democratic Party, you know, and of the left in general, they were all on her. They were on her just as bad as the right wing. And you wonder why we don't win. You wonder why we can't win. You wonder why, when 72% of the country in a recent poll thinks that the country is going in the wrong direction, 72% that the Democratic leadership can't get up the balls to do something. Because we're not united. We're all busy fighting amongst each other. We're not funding things the way we should. Those with the money. And the blogosphere for the left wing is kind of gentrified into really three or four fairly large blogs. Actually, two, if you just want to talk about Atrios and Kos. And if you want, you know, then they have the nerve to tell you how to make your blog successful. Well, you got to do this and you got to do that. No, you know, maybe that was true 5 years ago. What you have to do now is you have to suck up to the big bloggers. You have to continuously post and comment. And there's really no way for someone new coming in, unless they do that, to get any kind of attention, if the attention is what they're looking for. I gave up on it a while ago. Every now and then I get a flare of, damn it, why is no one reading my blog? Why is no one listening to my show? And then I whine about it. And, you know, then I go back and I realize that it's just simply not going to happen. But we're eating our own, and that's the problem. And I wasn't even aware until John brought it up that Cindy had to basically quit. And I'm not surprised. I'm not entirely surprised because, you know, other people who have lives of their own suddenly realize that, you know what, there's other things out there. And while the blogosphere is a community unto itself, it's still not the same thing as being an actual got-to-go-to-a-meeting-place type of deal. And there was a lot of that, too. It's all, you know, you get into gossip. And you get into little power plays and little status things. And, you know, and some of the people on DU and Kos will sit there, and I bring those two up more than Atrios because Atrios isn't really a community blog. But you'll have people who sit there and will screw you over. Not screw you over. They'll take anything you say and rag on it just to improve their own little social thing. Well, you didn't mean this. You didn't say this the right way. Bob Kincaid in the chat room says, we're eating our own, we're delicious with sweet taters. I don't know, some of y'all sound kind of sour to me. Some of y'all taste kind of sour to me. And by the way, if you do want to get into the chat room and talk to some of the smartest people on the internet, just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the live chat button, the chat room button up on top. We're delicious with sweet taters. Anyway, we're about halfway through. Let's take a little break here, and then I'll come back. I got some other stuff to talk about, and trying to shake the rust off from having been away for so long, but that's okay. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe Show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's cupjoe.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com, and let Internet Radio Ads work for you.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. In the midst of new contract negotiations with the IUECWA, GE is temporarily laying off 800 to 900 workers represented by the union at a Louisville, Kentucky appliances factory. The workers on the dishwasher assembly line will make 70% of their wages and keep full benefits during the layoff thanks to their union contracts. The dishwashers are used primarily by home builders and construction companies that build apartment complexes, and GE says there's been a slowing of demand for those dishwashers. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, and the Airline Pilots Association are rallying Wednesday in Minnesota to protest a growing pay disparity between company executives and employees at Northwest Airlines. The rally in St. Paul, Minnesota, will be at the state capitol. Workers and unions from across Minnesota have been invited to the rally. The pilots' union will set up its 25-foot-tall inflatable rat on the Capitol grounds as working families protest the huge pay inequity between executives and workers. The Change to Win Federation is strengthening ties with the Vietnam General Confederation of Labor. Change to Win's Anna Berger met with the Vietnamese labor union in Vietnam because she says her federation wants to study Vietnamese workers' movements and the activities of the Vietnam Confederation of Labor in order to build cooperation between U.S. labor unions and Vietnam labor organizations. The graduate employee organization at the University of Massachusetts is growing increasingly frustrated in its negotiations with UMass for a new contract. The grad student union is organized as UAW Local and got its first contract in 1991. Bargaining on the current contract has continued for 5 months. During the May 25th UMass commencement, the GEO protested the university bestowing an honorary degree upon former Bush Chief of Staff Andrew Card. The union staged a job action and protested the Card degree at commencement exercises, calling Card a war criminal. The grad student union at UMass wants better raises and also has issues with increasing health insurance copays, as well as grad housing and child care. The coalition of Immokalee workers deals with Taco Bell and McDonald's to pay workers more money for harvested tomatoes could be in trouble. The Florida Tomato Exchange, a grower group that controls 90% of tomato shipments from Florida, is urging its members not to honor the labor deal that puts a penny more per pound of tomatoes harvested into workers' pockets. Here's today's economic report. The National Community Reinvestment Coalition says in a new report that African Americans and Latinos in New Orleans are about twice as likely to get more expensive subprime home loans as are non-minorities. As New Orleans struggles to rebuild, the report also shows that disproportionately fewer small business loans are going to businesses in areas of the city populated primarily by blacks and Latinos. Nationwide, people of color are also more likely than whites to get subprime loans. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah! A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, if you want to call in, and I do want you to call in, 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453. And if you need to, you can use the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. But use the 304 number if you can. Well, I was listening to Peter B. Collins, and by the way, I want to welcome Peter B. Collins and Tony Seaton, is that right, to the Head On Radio Network, and we're glad to have them on. And there might be some, well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. I'll let Bob Kincaid deal with that, and we'll just let you know what's going on as things go on. But I was listening to Peter's show earlier, and he had Chris Hedges as his guest, the writer of American Fascism. And I was just fascinated by the conversation. And, of course, you know, I agree with all of it pretty much. You know, Reverend Sherry Falwell passed away over the last few days. And I didn't really have anything to say about it on my blog. By the way, my blog is cupojoe.blogspot.com, cupojoe.blogspot.com, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. And all I did was, instead of a comment, I just had a really funny little clip from Rowan Atkinson from one of his live specials where he played the devil welcoming people into hell, and it was very, very funny. And it was when he was calling people and getting them organized into little groups, and he was saying, you know, oh, adulterers over here, oh my God, there are a lot of you, aren't you? Aren't there? Or can we split you up into fornicators and everyone else? Male adulterers, would you form a line in front of that small guillotine over there? But, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't personally believe in a heaven and hell. I don't believe in that entire idea of eternal punishment or eternal bliss or anything like that based upon what you do in less than 100 years, generally. People who live more than 100 years are very rare, of course. But, if there is anything like that, if there is a sort of judgment after death, then I'm sure Mr. Falwell has plenty to answer for. Now, I got, you know, a comment from my good friend and nemesis, Bruce Lewis, a.k.a. Plymouth Belvedere. And I do say his name because he doesn't keep his name a secret. He just likes to use those goofy names. And Plymouth Belvedere is actually a rather funny name from an old car. But Bruce, who is Catholic, which was kind of funny, and he, you know, because guys like Falwell think Catholics are naturally going to hell anyway. But Bruce was like, you know, well, he was a good Christian, so you know, I can't say too much bad about him. And you know, I was remembering through all of that, and you know, and of course, that's just total. Horse hockey. I'm trying to avoid using the bad language. But like, look, you know, he wasn't a good Christian, first of all. I mean, he advocated hate. He advocated the kind of hate that Jesus never would. You know, I can't see it. I certainly can't see Jesus going up there. And the only time Jesus got angry, the only time he ever got pissed off, was when he threw the money lenders out of the temple. And if what Jerry Falwell does isn't, you know, money lending in the temple, I don't know what is, because that's basically, you know, he and Robertson and all these other con men, which is really all they are as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if they believe the crap that they say or not. But these guys are just getting rich off Jesus' name. And like I said, if there's any kind of judgment after death, if there's any kind of thing, anything like that, these guys are going to have a lot to answer for as far as I'm concerned. And quite frankly, you know, I'm glad he's dead, but that's not going to stop the Christian right movement. Not in any way, shape, or form. These guys are far too well-funded and well-organized. And, you know, they've gone from stealing old ladies' Social Security checks to stealing the government so that they can write the Social Security checks. But I was reminded during the discussion of a discussion I had with my wonderful late wife some years back, and we were watching an episode of MASH, and she was a little upset. You know, my wife was a Christian, and in fact, I wish I could find... I'm too lazy to dig around in all the reruns, but yeah, she was actually on the show a couple of times, and we were talking about religion. And she was saying that she was a little concerned that, that Hawkeye and Trapper were making fun of Frank Burns because of his religion, because of, you know, he read the Bible and he was a Christian and all that. And I said, no, they're not making fun of Frank Burns because he's a Christian. They're making fun of Frank Burns because he's a hypocrite. You'll notice if anybody looks at MASH that they never make fun of Father Mulcahy like that. And maybe if more Christians were like Father Mulcahy, it would be a better, you know, it would be something I would respect a little bit more. But the truth of the matter is, guys like Mulcahy are the exception, especially in these days, rather than the rule. And guys like Falwell and Robertson are the worst of the lot. And, you know, these mega churches, I see this, and my wife liked to go to church every week, and I'm not a church-going person, so it was kind of difficult that we, you know, it was something that she wanted us to do together. But we went to this church, and it was a mega church out in Alpharetta, Georgia. And it was the most interesting church I've ever seen in my life. First of all, you go into the place, you wouldn't even know it's a church by looking at it. There were no crucifixes. There was no religious symbology anywhere. It looked like a convention center, a small convention center. And they had as impressive an audio-video setup as I have ever seen. Very high quality. And this is coming from a guy who used to help build really super professional broadcasters. I mean, I helped build the TNT studio, and Ted Turner's building a big broadcast facility on Techwood Drive in Georgia. So I've seen the really, you know, professional broadcast stuff, and this was a very, very impressive looking place. So they had a lot of money, and it was run by a guy by the name of Andy Stanley. And yeah, it was a personality cult. That's exactly what it was, a personality cult based around this guy. And that's how the right acts, really. I mean, you look at it, they have a personality cult around George W. Bush, you know, the hardcore, the 28% of the people who still think that Mr. Bush is the right guy in the right place. Hang on a second. And I'm just so numb to all this that it's even hard for me to get sufficiently angry about it. I mean, because I want to rail and I want to pound the table and I want to scream, but that won't do any damn good. Because as ignorant as these people are, they're never going to accept that the world is different from what they believe. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to say I know what God thinks or I'm speaking for God. I'm not going to do that because, quite frankly, I don't have the right to, and I don't think anybody has the right to. What is God? Who is God? How do we define God? Is he an old guy in a robe and a flowing white beard? Is God basically the essence of what the entire universe is? But these guys have a definite definition, and they claim to be speaking for God, which is ridiculous. You know, God's word, and when I used to tell Kathy, and tell other people, look, God's word is not just in the Bible. God's word is in every blade of grass and every leaf of every tree and the genetic makeup of every human being and every animal in the world. If you look at God as just the sum total of everything in the universe, well, that's what God is, isn't it? Everything. And you would think that the Christians and people like that would be the biggest environmentalists in the world, because you would imagine that if the Bible says that we are duty bound to take care of the earth, then don't you think it behooves us to learn how the earth works so that we can better care for it? But they're the biggest ones that are raping the land anyway. Because it's not about Jesus, it's not about God, it's not about anything. But I want money and I want power, and I'm going to find every way to get it that I can. I don't care if I have to lie, cheat, steal, kill. Mr. Robertson and Mr. Falwell were responsible for a lot of deaths. And they have the audacity to sit there and blame what happened on 9/11 on gay people? And what I find really comical is that there's a guy that's even crazier, and that's the Reverend Phelps, who was going to be protesting, who was protesting at Falwell's funeral. Because Falwell wasn't sufficiently showing enough anger towards gays. And I saw a music video that was put together by my Mr. Phelps. His daughter was in there. And I know we got a break coming up. Let me get to this right for a second. But the title of the video was God Hates the World, and it was sung to the tune of We Are the World. Can you imagine a religion with a message that God hates the world? And I try so hard not to have mindless hate for these people, but they make it so easy to hate them, because not only, you know, it's bad enough that they're ignorant, but they want to spread that ignorance to everybody else, and they make the world stink. They make the world stink. And I'm sorry to say that I'm not going to live to see the day when all these vestiges of organized religion, which to me is a detriment of us finding any kind of a greater truth, whatever greater truth there might be out there. And I'm sorry to say that I'm not going to live to see the end, the demise of organized religion. And there's a big difference between that and having faith or just believing in something greater than yourself. Because as a liberal, I do want to believe in something more important than myself and something bigger than myself. That's a very strong tenet of liberalism and liberal thought. But that doesn't preclude giving in to ignorance and hate like that. Or going to the dark side. If only you knew the power of the dark side. You want to talk about this, give me a call. 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. The toll-free number is 1-877-443-2366. Let's take our last break, and we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Remember that one? That was big in the 60s, back when gas was like 30 cents a gallon, a house 22 grand, cigarettes a quarter a pack. But the packs came with a warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. It proved to be right. Music's changed, and so have prices. Gas is almost $3 a gallon. A decent house costs a quarter of a million, and a pack of cigarettes is about $5. But now, there's another cancer warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Radon causes lung cancer, whether you smoke or not.
Radon is an invisible, odorless gas that seeps into your home from underground. The only way to know if you have high levels of radon in your home is to have your home tested. The U.S. Surgeon General recommends it.
Call 1-800-693-5343 or visit radon.oznet.ksu.edu. Sponsored by KDHE and the Kansas Radon Program at K-State.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back for the final segment here on the Cup of Joe radio show. And once again, I am back live for those of you who have been listening to reruns all this time, and I appreciate you listening in. And a lot of our new listeners on Reciva.com, R-E-C-I-V-A.com. Puffy Yami Yumi, ladies and gentlemen, doing that music there. I love that. I love that. That's from the Teen Titans cartoon, which used to be on Cartoon Network. I think they're still running it. I think they stopped making new ones. But today, by the way, for those of you who don't know, and I just actually found out about it just this last couple of minutes, is John Kennedy's birthday. Kennedy was born May 29th, 1917. And, of course, he was assassinated in November of 1963, which is a shame. About a week after my second birthday. And I think, you know, a lot of people believe, and I kind of agree, that was a turning point in America right there. We had been going in a certain direction, and after Kennedy got shot, things changed. People no longer had the trust of the government because they didn't believe any of the stories they told about, you know, what happened with the Kennedy assassination. This is a good quote from Kennedy. I got this from MyLeftWing.com, by the way, a website I read semi-regularly. I used to be a little more active of it. It was an offshoot of Daily Kos and a community blog, which means, you know. Anyway, this is what Kennedy had to say. He said, "Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. War will exist until that distant day when the conscientious objector enjoys the same reputation and prestige as the warrior does today." And those are powerful sentiments, and unfortunately, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. We don't like peacemakers. You know, Jesus said, and again, I'm not a religious person. I'm not a Jesus freak. You know, Jesus, you know, I think Jesus was Jesus, and he had some good things to say, and I think his followers are all a bunch of a-holes, as far as I'm concerned. But I think, you know, they make a big deal about the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments got to be in the schools and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But never mind that the reasons why the Ten Commandments, these big granite things, were part of a publicity for that movie that Dino De Laurentiis made with Charlton Heston. They never talk about the Beatitudes, which you know, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, you know. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall, you know, inherit the earth." Or, "Blessed are the peacemakers, or they that they have the will of God," or something like that. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Excuse me. And, you know, they had a Republican debate recently, and you listen to these guys, and this is a party that calls itself the party of God. God's only party. And they're all there busy trying to outdo each other and who would torture who and who we would attack and stuff like that. And Rudy Giuliani, who was a lunatic, and Mitt Romney, who was a lunatic, they're all sitting there saying, "I would double Guantanamo. I was just waiting for someone to say, I would just open up the doors and I would go house to house and kill anybody that wasn't white." Yeah, what's so special about the cheesemakers, Bob Kincaid? The movie Life of Brian, I saw that recently, and you know something, that is a far funnier movie than I remembered it when I first watched it. And that whole bit about the Jesus Sermon on the Mount, and you know, and John Cleese's interview with Dick Cavett during that time. And he was talking about that scene, and people were saying, "Well, you were making fun of the Sermon on the Mount." He said, no, you know, every time we had Jesus or anything like that in the film, it was always treated very reverently. But then, you know, with the Sermon on the Mount, what they kind of did was they panned all the way to the back where people couldn't quite make out what Jesus was saying. You know, blessed are the cheesemakers. What does that mean? Well, he doesn't necessarily mean cheesemakers, dear. It could be any makers of dairy products. You know, blessed are the Greek. Who's the Greek? Well, apparently, he's going to inherit the earth. Oh, lucky bastard! You know. And you know, really, to this day, is what you have is people misinterpreting a lot of what Jesus has to say. And there are some people now who are questioning whether or not Jesus actually exists or whether or not he was this other preacher. Doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. But what the hell was I talking about? I was talking about Kennedy and war and peace and all that stuff. And you know, and here and again, here are the people who claim to be speaking most for Jesus, the Republican leadership. And it's all, by the way, you notice they're all old white guys. All crotchety old white guys who probably hadn't gotten laid in years. And how many sexual problems did Rudy Giuliani have? They talk about this with Clinton all the time, but Jesus, how many wives has Rudy gone through? At any rate, here are guys talking about who they're going to kill. And again, I'm just waiting for them to come out and say, well, you know, if you elect me, I'll kill anybody you don't like. I'll just kill them. I'll go to their house personally and put a gun to their head and shoot them. That's what I'd do. And they get greeted with applause. When was it Romney? One of those turds out there talking about, I would double Gitmo. I would double Guantanamo. Throw them all in jail. We don't care. We don't need no rights. Only the wimps have rights. And the audience says, yeah, kill them all. It's like going back to Monty Python. It's like the crowd scene when they with Connie Booth as dressed as the witch. We found the witch, may we burn her? What do you do with witches? Burn! What do you do with terrorists? Burn! And what do you burn apart from terrorists? More terrorists! It's a Bedivere. Why do witches burn? Because they're made of wood? Good! Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And that is the type of reasoning and logic we're seeing from the right wing. And you know, I was in the Bar Cop chat room the other day, barcop.com, still going strong after all these years. And they've been getting an unusual amount of trolls in there lately, right wingers just coming in and causing trouble. They tell me, you know, when we talk about facts, you know, and we basically smacked them down. One of the guys there, FUD, F-U-D, that's his nickname. He put what they call a shun command, where basically they can see what we have to say, but they can't write themselves. So I said, I'll give you some facts. 3,500 soldiers dead. There's a fact for you. And quite frankly, why aren't you among them? At least as far as being soldiers are concerned. This is the biggest war, the war to end all wars. Why aren't you there fighting it, you coward? All for war so long as someone else fights it, right? Holy crap, look at the time. I think it's time for me to go. Hours go by so quick. You know, it doesn't seem that way, but hours go by so quick. Listen, I'm glad I'm back on the air. I'll say that much. Let's go ahead and run the music. Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, because I'm ready to go. I need a beer, which is weird because I don't even drink beer. Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. The great Bob Kincaid handling the boards today. And nobody called up. Damn you. Call me tomorrow. I want to hear from you. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Fox Stuff with John Fox is up next on all of your head-on radio stations. Until then, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, 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 get back to work. With the creamer of steam.
believe. He'd be a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of pigs, that'll do. To the carafe of mash upon a tray of ray, I'll lick a spoon of short. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe.
This is the Quality News Network. Protesting genocide in Darfur, President Bush this morning announced new economic sanctions against the Sudanese government. He also ordered the State Department to propose additional UN action. 200,000 Sudanese have been killed. 2.5 million have been forced to flee their homes. In Darfur, nearly 80% of humanitarian aid workers are afraid to speak to the UN, human rights groups, or journalists about the violence they've seen. That's according to the latest Reuters poll. 158 aid workers have been killed or seriously injured there since 2003. In Baghdad this morning, a car bomb exploded downtown, killing 23 and wounding 55. Another car bomb in the western part of the city killed 15 and wounded 36. Also in Baghdad this morning, gunmen kidnapped four British civilians from their cars outside the finance ministry. One was an expert assisting the Iraqi government. The other four were his bodyguards. On Memorial Day, at least 8 U.S. soldiers were killed in Diyala province. 2 died when their helicopter was shut down. 110 U.S. forces have died so far in May. In Tehran, espionage charges were filed today against a prominent U.S. academic from the Woodrow Wilson Center for Scholars. Also charged were 2 Iranian Americans, 1 a journalist, 1 a former World Bank employee. They've been imprisoned for weeks. In many cities in Venezuela, protesters are demonstrating in the streets following President Hugo Chavez's takeover of the country's largest opposition television station. Chavez is threatening to shut down another local station and CNN.